Our gospel today picks up the story from the Gospel of Mark. Last week we heard about the death of John the Baptist, and immediately prior to that was the sending of the 12 out into the village and towns to do ministry. So we hear now the Gospel, Mark chapter 6, beginning with verse 30. Glory to you, O Lord. So the apostles gathered around Jesus and told him about all things that they had done and taught. And Jesus said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves so that you may rest." So they got in the boat and went to a deserted place by themselves. But there were some that saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried by foot there to that place from all the towns and arrived there ahead of them. So when Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd, and he had compassion on them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is very late. Send the people away so that they may go to the surrounding country in villages and buy something there for themselves to eat." But Jesus said, "You give them something to eat." And they said, "Are we to go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread to give to them?" So he asked them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." So when they found out, they came and told him, "Five and two fish." So then Jesus ordered them to have the whole gathering to sit in groups on the green grass. So they sat in groups of hundreds and fifties. Then the bread and the fish, blessed the loaves and broke it, and had them set it before all the people. And he divided up the fish among them all. And all ate and were satisfied. And they gathered 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves, they numbered 5,000 men. So immediately, Jesus got his disciples and put them in the boat to send them across ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. So after bidding them farewell, he went a mountain to pray. When it was evening, the disciples were on the boat on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he looked out, and he saw that they were straining at the oars against an adverse wind. So he came out to them on the water early in the morning, intending to pass by. But they saw him and thought he was a ghost, and called out. They all saw him, and they were terrified. Immediately, Jesus said to them, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Then he got into the boat, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astonished, for they did not understand the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. The Gospel of the Lord. Please. It really is a miracle. It really is. Some 15, 20 years ago, I'm getting old, when I was preparing to become a pastor, I was on an internship. And I was a chaplain in a county jail in Richmond, California. And this was a new experience. I don't think I'd ever been in a jail or anywhere close to it. I was there 5 days a week and worked with mostly, minimum security situation, but there were gangs and it was primarily a bunch of younger guys. But one of the, I think, exceptional programs they had was a drug rehab. And I talked to the leader of that. Her name was Katrina. And I asked if it might be possible for me to sit in, because I really had no experience with drugs or folks that were addicted to drugs. I just had not hung out with that crowd. And I was pretty much of the mindset, I'll just say no. Why don't I just see what they're doing to their bodies, ramifications. But I knew that, I suspected that there was more to it than what I thought. So I talked to Katrina, who herself is a recovering heroin addict. And she said, sure, come in, you can just, if you'll just sit in the class and you can observe. And so whenever I could, I'd sit in that class. And usually they're about, I think they capped it about 30 young men. And I would watch her at work, and it was extraordinary. I mean, I could go on and on just about all, you know, why she would invest herself in some people, and let other people just kind of let them sit there, and it's all kinds of learning. And occasionally, I would just have a conversation with her to kind of try to understand why she was making the choices that she was, what she was really trying to accomplish. But the end result of was that I came away with the realization that anyone who kicks a drug addiction or a serious addiction, I mean, it really is a miracle. It really is a miracle to choose to stay away from something that makes you feel incredible, something that has a hold of you, that even gets in and changes the way you think and reorients your life around. It is a miracle if you're able to say no to that and kick that habit and get clean and sober. It's an ongoing miracle every day to say no. It really is a miracle, and we have some people that are working miracles in this place right now. Today's story is about miracles, isn't it? The feeding of the 5,000, walking on water. Some of you noticed I have my JC water walkers on. Together, I had a friend when I was working as an engineer. Occasionally, I'd wear sandals. He goes, "Oh, you got your JC water walkers on." This is what we're making back in Blast. Those that want some of these. Now, where was I? Oh yeah. So today's story. I mean, it's about miracles. The feeding of the 5,000, taking 5 loaves and 2 fish, and somehow having it multiply and multiply and multiply. Not just so that there was enough to feed the people, but that there was more than enough. That 5 loaves and 2 fish, after everybody had eaten their fill, it filled 12 baskets full. And then the amazing story of Jesus walking on water, terrifying his disciples. And, oh yeah, then there's a miracle too of the calming of the wind as soon as he gets in the boat. And my suspicion is that when people in general talk about miracles, they talk about these kind of what I would call physical miracles. The kind of miracle where it seems like the laws of the universe are suspended or broken or somehow manipulated and changed in such a way that, you know, sort of like all of a sudden if this became 2 Bibles, it's like that, wait, what about the consistency of matter? And I know that God has the ability to do that. But I also have seen people that have talked about miracles that they've witnessed and how they said, wow, you wouldn't believe what I saw. It's going to change my life forever. And then the next week, it was like gone. So I'd like to explore the possibility that not only is this a story about physical miracles, but about spiritual miracles. What if it's not just about the fact that those loaves magically took on more and more and more and more mass and so it fed the people? What if it's the miracle of the Spirit moving such that people who probably may have had some food that they knew was there to take care of themselves that they were probably hiding, that maybe the miracle was that by someone offering their 5 loaves and 2 fish gave them the courage, the possibility, the excitement, the opportunity, the willingness to share what they have, so that all of a sudden what looked like a deserted place, no food, a place of death, all of a sudden abounded with life, abounded with food, abounded with sustenance. Now, was it a physical miracle or a spiritual miracle? I don't know. But what I do know is that in my looking at the life of the church throughout the centuries, throughout the years, throughout the months, that I see miracle after miracle after miracle. And most of them are not the type of physical miracle that seems to go against nature. But it's the miracles of people having the courage, the insight to be different in the world so that it causes miraculous results. So I do believe that anyone who can shake an addiction, that's a miracle. And an ongoing miracle as they choose every day to not go back to that. But just this week, there was something I saw on TV that just struck me as miraculous. I know I'm in Canada, but you probably heard of President Jimmy Carter, right? Yeah. God, when was he? He was back like 78 to 82, way into the 70s and early 80s. And he was followed by a guy named Ronald Reagan. You probably remember him too. But Jimmy Carter, I remember the assessment. The general assessment at the end of his presidency was that he was a pretty awful president. I think he was. Yeah, just that was the general assessment. And I remember thinking, wow, what is he going to do now? And so the first miracle is that instead of kind of crawling away, licking his wounds, doing whatever, he went back to Atlanta, Georgia, kept teaching his Sunday morning Bible study. He started something called the Carter Center for Peace, I think that's what it's called. He also got underneath and lent his name and support to Habitat for Humanity. And for the last 40 years, has been giving his life so that life may abound. What a miracle. But that's not what happened this last week. That's what he's been doing since he was president. The news this week was that he had cancer. And he has brain cancer, and I didn't actually see the press conference, but he was letting the public know that he had brain cancer and he would begin treatment. And the prognosis is not. But what struck me is I was watching a news show where there were a couple of analysts talking about it. And what they said was, wow, what a model of what it looks like to be a person of faith. They said in that press conference, he didn't talk about, you know, the brain surgery so much or the dealing with that. What he talked about is how grateful he was for his life and all the things he had an opportunity to do. And just he came away with this sense of someone at peace in the midst of this news that can be so disconcerting and can shake you at the foundations. But his foundation wasn't shaken. He was a person of faith. He's been a person of faith, and he is a person of faith. And so in the midst of this, he can give thanks to God. And one of the commentators said, you know, there's all kinds of folks out there saying this is what it looks like to live. And here we have an example of someone facing death. He's just about to die. So there's many points you can point to in the miracle, as far as a miracle in that whole thing. What struck me as a miracle is on this secular TV show, these two guys are talking about faith and talking about someone who is a person of faith and how it's an example to the rest of us. I think that's a miracle. Now, it's not, some would say it'll be a miracle if the brain cancer amazingly disappears. And it would be. But even without that, Jimmy Carter is a living miracle. And miracles are happening around him, just like miracles happen around you. When you make the choice to look beyond your own wants, to look beyond what would have you be comfortable, and choose to do something for someone else. It is a miracle when somebody who's holding a grudge and has every reason to stay mad and angry at somebody chooses to forgive. That is a miracle. This is a group of people. You are a group of people that are working miracles every day. Some of them may be going against the laws of nature, the physical type of miracles, because God does those. But I want to lift up the spiritual miracles that God is wanting and doing every day. Because if you're waiting for the big to look for evidence of God, you may be waiting for a while, and when it comes, it may not actually make a difference for you. But will make a difference if you develop the eyes to see the miracles happening all the time. The acts of kindness, the acts of sacrifice, the acts of forgiveness, the acts of reconciliation, the acts of hope in the midst of things that are just despairing. If you are looking for those kind of miracles, and also being willing to give your 5 loaves and 2 fish, then you become a part of the miraculous work that God is up to. So the disciples didn't understand the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. May we be people who understand the loaves and the way that God wants to work in the world. And may our hearts be soft and alive and growing and courageous and powerful. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.